We began last week speaking about the pasuk Matovu Ayhalacha Yaakov Mishkanei Sacha Yisrael, which is the first pasuk we say. The first pasuk we say as we enter a shul in the morning. How good are your tents, Yaakov? Your dwelling place is Yisrael. Watch your fingers. So last week we spoke about this pasuk seems to be redundant. Your tent Yaakov, your dwelling place is Yisrael, seem to be the same thing. We offered a couple of explanations. I'd like to offer yet another one or two explanations on this pasuk. We find the pasuk connecting Yaakov to Ohel is a pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Toldos. The pasuk says, "Yaakov ishtam yoshev oyhalim." Yaakov was a simple person, and he dwelled in tents. And Chazal tell us there that what it means is that he dwelled in the oil of Shem and the oil of Aver. These were the yeshivas of Shem ve'Aver. That is where Yaakov Avinu. That is where he was. That's where he sat. Yaakov Avinu sat and learned Torah day and night. So that's Ayhalecha Yaakov. Yaakov was not called Yisrael. He was not named Yisrael until later on when he wrestled with the Sarshal Esav. When he wrestled with Esav's Malach, that's when Yaakov assumed the name Yisrael. And as the Malach said to him, and the Sarshal Esav is the Satan. So the Satan said to him, Ki sorisa imalekim va'anoshim atuchal, you wrestled. Since you wrestled with an angel and with people, and you have been victorious, so that's why your name is Yisrael. Now, we know that there are people that spend their days sitting and learning Torah. Day and night. That's what they spend the time doing. For these people, life is, I'm talking about their spiritual life, is less of a struggle. They might struggle more financially, right? But their spiritual life is less of a struggle. After all, they're learning Torah day and night. The Chazal say, Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Torah Tavlin, I created Yetzahara. The potion against the Yetzirah is Torah. So these people learning Torah day and night definitely have it an easier time with the Yetzirah than people out there, and the people that need to go out to the marketplace, people that need to go out to work, people that are confronted with Nisyonis on a daily, hourly basis. Since they have to come in contact with all different types of people and all different types of visions and all different types of circumstances that are very challenging. So the person sitting in the oil is Yaakov. There are people who don't have a struggle. They're not the Yisrael. The Yisraels are the people that struggle, the people that wrestle with the Yetzirah. Those are the Yisraels. The Yaakovs are the people sitting in the Oholim. Yaakov Ishtom Yoshev Oholim. Simple, tmimizdike people sitting in the oil. We know that the Lamed Tes Malachas, the 39 malachas that we're not allowed to do on Shabbos, Where do we learn those from? We learn them from the Mishkan. The Mishkan was the place where the Lamedtes Malachas were performed, right? The plowing and the sowing and all the cooking and the baking and all the different Malachas. The Lamedtes Malachas represents all of the different types of toil that exist in this world for the people that go out of the oil, right? Those Lamedtes Malachas are represented by the Mishkan. That is where the Lamedtes Malachas were done. So, since the purpose of the Bria, the Tachlis of the Bria, it says in the Medrash Tanchuma that the purpose of the Bria is Sheyaloi HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to have a Dira B'Tachtoinim. Hashem wanted to have a dwelling place among the lowly. So that's why the Mishkan, specifically the Mishkan that represents Hashem's presence in this world, needs to be within the Lamedtes Malachas. If a Yid is able to go out and do the Lamedtes Malachas and wrestle with the Yetzer Hara and overcome the Yetzer Hara, that is Tachlis HaBriya. That is the purpose of creation. As the Kaltzker Rebbe said, Anshei Kodesh Tihuni, I want to have holy people. I have enough angels, says Hashem. I've got enough angels. I need to have holy people. Anshei Kodesh. I need holy people. And that is accomplished by the Mishkan type of people. The Mishkan type of people, which are the people that are involved in the Lamedtes Malachas, in the 39 types of work. And yet, they're Mekadesh Hashem, they sanctify Hashem's name by wrestling against the Yetzer Hara, by confronting their challenges and overcoming their challenges. Those are the Yisraels. Nevertheless, the Yaakovs have the advantage that they're able to learn Torah day and night, connect with the Rabbeinu Shlomo, to the point that they don't have to wrestle. And both of these approaches are beautiful. There are these people are sitting and learning Torah day and night, the Yaakovs of the world. They don't have to wrestle to the extent that the Yisrael has to wrestle, because they're not out there. And the Mishkan Yisrael are observing, and they're bringing out the Tachlis, the whole purpose of creation. So we say, this is the pasuk that Bilam said, last week's parasha, Ma toivu oyalecha Yaakov Mishkan Yisachah Yisrael. How beautiful are both the oyalecha Yaakov, the oil of Yaakov, and the Mishkan Yisachah Yisrael, and the Mishkan, the place of the Lamedtes Malachas, that the person that is involved in those areas is called the Yisrael, since one wrestles with the Yetzer Hara. I can't resist to say over a word. Just on this same topic, there's a Moreh de Gachassam Sofer and Gachassam Sofer says that there's a Gemara Ksubis Daf Hey. The Gemara says Godo Yoin the day that the Mishkan was erected was a greater day to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam than the day that heaven and earth were created. So the Chassam Sofer says, let's take a moment to focus. The creation of the world is, we're talking about the creation of the world. And we know that creation of the world is very meaningful to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, as we see in Pirkei Avos, Vasarim Amaris Nivra Olam, Hashem created the world with 10 utterances, even though He could have created it with one utterance. Litn Schar Tov LeTzadikim, to give reward to the Tzadikim, Shemekayim Nes HaOlam, they sustain the world. Shenivra Vasarim Amaris, that was created with 10 utterances. It's Chashivas, it's important to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We should sustain the world. The world have tremendous importance. Yet, The world is not the greatest thing in the world, right? The Mishkan is greater. The day that the Mishkan was erected is greater than the day that heaven and earth were created. And we find, Taka, that somebody who desecrates the Mishkan, somebody who walks into the Mishkan while they're Tameh, is liable for death. It's a capital crime. The Mishkan is very holy and very important. So one would have thought, says Lachsam Sofer, that the Mishkan must be the holiest thing that exists. It's even more greater than Bria Shemayim Varet, says Lachsam Sofer. No. We derive from Psukim. It's actually a pasuk that says Achashab Soisai Tishmoiru, pasuk of Pashas Kisisa. It's written right after the Melechas HaMishkan. It says, Achashab Soisai Tishmoiru. However, my Shabbos you shall observe. And we learn from that, that as important as the building of the Mishkan is, it doesn't push away Shabbos. Shabbos is more important. The observance of Shabbos, Achashab Soisai Tishmoiru, the observance of Shabbos is more important than the building of the Mishkan. So Shabbos is greater than the building of the Mishkan. That's greater than the creation of heaven and earth. That's how great Shabbos is. And we know that somebody who observes Shabbos, the reward is immense. The person receives in the world to come an inheritance without boundaries. And somebody who desecrates the Shabbos is liable for the worst type of the out of the four types of death penalties, which is skila. Skila is the worst. Desecrating the Shabbos. The Shabbos is the holiest thing that we have. So Shabbos is greater than the Mishkan, which is greater than the creation of heaven and earth. So, we're going to come to the conclusion that the holiest thing that exists, the most important thing that exists, is Shabbos. No, says Chassam Sofer. From that same pasuk, Achashab Soisai Tishmoiru, only my Shabbos you shall observe. We know that Ach is a mute and it's an exclusion. And we derive from that that Pikuach Nefesh is Doicha Shabbos. That if a Yiddish neshama, that if the neshama of a Yid is in danger, if a Jew's life is in danger, you desecrate the Shabbos to save the Jew. Says Chassam Sofer, so we see from here how precious a Yid is to the Ribbono Shel Olam. A Yid, the neshama of a Yid, is more important than Shabbos, which is more important than the Mishkan, which is more important than the creation of heaven and earth. That's how precious a Yid is. Chassam Sofer concludes that this is why the pasuk Achashab Soisai Tishmoiru, the pasuk that we derive from that, from where we derive that Malachas HaMishkan is not Doicha Shabbos, and we also derive from that pasuk that Pikuach Nefesh is Doicha Shabbos. The pasuk concludes the das, from here you are to know Ki Ani Hashem Ekadishchem, that I am Hashem that sanctifies you. A Yid needs to know how holy a Yid is. And if desecrating the world, right, carries with it a punishment, as the it says in Pirkei Avos, that the Yiparamen Arashoyim, that the reason why the world was created with 10 utterances is to punish the wicked. Shema Abdinus Olam, Shenevet Asarim Amores, they destroy the world that was created with 10 utterances. That's the punishment for desecrating the world. And we know that desecrating the Mishkan, as we said before, is punishable by death. Desecrating the Shabbos is even worse than that. Somebody who desecrates the Shabbos is chayv skila. How much more so is someone who desecrates their own neshama. Someone who violates their neshama, someone who underestimates the koichas, the potential of their neshama, that is the worst thing a person can do. We have to value, we have to realize how precious we are to the Rabbi Nishlal. We have to take ourselves very seriously. So Chassam Sofer says that just to remember this word, Shema, it says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. He says, Shema is Rosh HaTevis, Shabbos, Mishkan, Olam. The three levels we spoke about. The Shabbos, the Mishkan, and the world. Right? The Gemara says, the Mishkan, the day the Mishkan was erected is greater than the creation of the world. Shabbos doesn't push away the Mishkan. Shabbos cannot be pushed away by the building of the Mishkan. So we see that Shabbos is greater than the Mishkan. He said the only thing that's greater than Shema, than Shabbos, Mishkan, Olam, is Yisrael. Is a Yid. A Yid is greater than Shabbos, Mishkan, Olam. And the only thing that's greater than Yisrael is Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Is Hashem Himself. Now, to take this a level further, I believe that there are four levels of Yid. As these, we spoke about these four levels just now, that there's Olam, which is the lowest level, creation of heaven and earth. Then there's Mishkan, which is Godol Yam Shehukam HaMishkam Yam Shenivra Vashemayim Varetz. Greater is the day that the Mishkan was erected than the day heaven and earth were created. And then there's the level above that is Shabbos. Shabbos, Malachas HaMishkan doesn't push away Shabbos. And then greater than that is Bikoch Nefesh. Greater than that is the Neshama of a Yid. That pushes away Shabbos. There are four levels of Yid. There are Yidin that are Olam Yidin. Meaning, worldly people. People that don't understand or are unfortunate. Unfortunately, they do not realize what our purpose is here in this world. They don't realize that we're here to be a Mishkan. So they don't realize that we're here to be a dwelling place for the Shekhinah in this world. They're called the Olam Yidin. They're the lowest level. A level above that is Mishkan Yidin. Mishkan Yidin are Yidin that, as we mentioned before, the Mishkan is the place where the 39 Malachas took place. The people that are involved in the 39 Malachas, people that know that Nisava Kadosh Baruch Hu Lias Laidira B'Tachtonim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to have a dwelling place among the low. The Rebbeinu Shlomo wants us to be involved in the 39 Malachas and to observe His Torah while we are involved in these 39 Malachas, thereby bringing down His Shekhinah into lowly matters. That's what the Mishkan represents. The Mishkan was the place where the 39 Malachas took place. And that was the place where the Shekhinah dwelt. That's the Tachlis Abriya. Those are Mishkan Yidin. They're obviously much greater than the Olam Yidin, who don't realize what their purpose here in this world is. A level above that are Shabbos Yidin. Shabbos Yidin, as the Zohar HaKadosh says, Talmud Chacham is b'mchina Shabbos. Talmud Chacham is on a level of Shabbos. Those are the Yankav Ishtam Yoshev Ayholim, the people that sit and learn Yom HaValayla. They're not involved in Olam HaTas Malachas, similar to Shabbos. They're not involved in the 39 Malachas. They're Shabbos Yidin. Malachas HaMishkan is not like a Shabbos. As important as the Mishkan Yidin are, the people that are Oisik in the 39 Malachas, as important as that is, and that as much as it's Tachlis Habriya, there are the Shabbos Yidin that stand above, a level above them. But a level above the Shabbos Yidin, the Pikuach Nefesh Yidin. Yidin that save Yiddish and Nefashis. You know, people that are Makarev other Yidin, bring them closer to Yiddishkeit. They're out there saving souls. Pikuach Nefesh Yidin. That's greater than. That's Doicha Shabbos. That's even a greater level than the Shabbos Yidin. So Matoivo Yolecha Yaakov Mishkan Yisrael Yisrael. There's the Yolecha Yaakov, there's the Yaakovs that they don't need to struggle, they don't need to wrestle with the Sultan, they don't need to wrestle with the Sar Shalesov because they're sitting in the oil atoira Yom Balaila. And then there's the Mishkan Yisrael Yisrael. There are those that are out there creating a Mishkan for the Rabbanish Tolam by being Oisek in the 39 Malachas. Those are the Yisrael, the Kisarisa. They are the ones resting with the Sar Shalesov. And we praise them both because Elu V'Elu, Dura Lekim Chaim. According to this, we can understand the next pasuk. Next pasuk we say, is after we say Matayvo Yalecha Yaakov Mishkan Esacha Yisrael, we say V'Ani Beroiv Chazdecha Ovei Beisacha. And I, with your abundant kindness, I come to your house. I bow down to your holy sanctuary in awe of you. So a yid comes into this medrash and talks about how beautiful are those who sit and learn Torah at the Yom HaLayla. Mishkan Yisachal Yisroel over those who create a Mishkan for the Rabbeinu Shloilam through wrestling with the Yetzirah. What about me? I'm neither a Yaakov. I'm not a Yisroel. I don't see myself as either one. Unfortunately, for one to say about themselves that they're a Yaakov or a Yisroel, it's a bit of a level to be on. Vani. But I'm neither a Yaakov or Yisrael. I come to your house not as a Yaakov, not as a Yisrael. I come to your house with your abundant kindness. Because you let me in. Not that I'm a Yaakov or a Yisrael. I come to your house with your abundant kindness. There's a Mordechai Chassam Sofer from last week's parsha. Chassam Sofer says, on this pasuk, "Matavo Elach Yaakov Mishkan Yisachar Yisrael," it's a bit of a painful Chassam Sofer, actually. Chassam Sofer says that you'll find that the Amei Haaretz, the ignoramus people, they don't respect the Beis Medrash. They don't respect the study hall, the places of study. The reason why they don't respect it, they don't learn Torah. The Beis Medrash is there for people to come and learn Torah, and the Amei Haaretz don't show the appropriate respect to the Beis Medrash by coming and learning whenever they have an opportunity. However, says Chassam Sofer, when it comes to the Beis HaKnesses, to the shuls, where the davening places, there the Amei Haaretz are fine. It's the Lomdim, it's the Talmid Chachamim that are disrespectful to the Shul. Since they're so involved in Torah learning, davening doesn't do much for them. So he says, it's the Yaakovs that represents the Amei Haaretz, right? They're disrespectful to the Beis Medrash, but they are respectful to the Beis HaKnesses, to the Shuls. The Yisroels, which are the Talmid Chachamim, right? They're respectful to the Beis Medrash, that they're learning Yemimah day and night, but they're disrespectful to the shul. He says they're talking in shul. They don't appreciate David. He says Bilam, in his all of his wickedness, said, "Ah, matovu ayahalecha Yaakov. This looks great to me. The way the Yaakovs treat the oil, the way Yaakovs treat the Beis Medrash, and Mishkan Yisrael, Yisrael, and the way the Yisrael, the way the Talmid Chacham treat the Batei Knesiyos." So it's really a very degrading pasuk. It's Bilam speaking. Matovu ayahalecha Yaakov Mishkan Yisrael, Yisrael. And the Chassam Sefer says the reason why we say this pasuk every day as we enter the Beis Medrash or the Beis HaKnesses is to bring out that this is a level that Bilam appreciated, and we should see to it not to be that way, and that we should respect the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis Medrash. We say Matovu ayahalecha Yaakov Mishkan Yisrael Yisrael. Bilam said, "Matoy v'alach yak mishkan esach Yisrael." But v'ani, but I, bro, chazucha v'beisacha. I appreciate your bias. Eshtach v'lehechol kalshcha v'irasacha. I appreciate your Beis Medrash. I appreciate your Beis Knesses. I'm going to see to it that I conduct myself with the utmost covet and the utmost respect to the Beis Medrash and to the Beis Knesses. We know that we share two types of relationships with Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam is our father, and we are his children. The pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh, "Bonim atam Hashem Elokeichem." You are children to Hashem, your God. There's another type of relationship that we enjoy with Hashem, and that is the relationship of a melech and an eved, a king and a servant. As the pasuk says, the end of Parshas Bahar, "Ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim," Hashem says, "B'nei Yisrael are my servants." Now, it would seem that the relationship of a father and children is a much closer relationship of love. And therefore, it's a bit difficult to understand why is it necessary to have that second type of relationship altogether? Why do we need to have the type of relationship of an Eved and a Melech? Wouldn't it be better if we just stuck to the relationship of being children of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and he's our father. Avinu Malkeinu, our father, our king. What do we need the Malkeinu part for? And the answer is, Kavadim. What do we need what is the advantage of the relationship of that we have with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam of Eved and Melech? And I'd like to suggest that there are three advantages. Advantage number one is the concept of bittul. An Eved, a servant, or maybe the better word is slave. A slave is totally nullified to his master, to the point that according to the halacha, according to what the Torah tells us, yad eved ki yad ravoy, the hand of the slave is like the hand of the master. The slave doesn't have his own identity. His entire identity is, I am the slave of this master. When Eliezer Eved Avraham came to Lavan and Besuel, they asked him who he is. He answered, Eved Avraham Anochi. I am the slave of Avraham Avinu. That was his identity. He didn't say Eliezer Eved Avraham. Eved Avraham Anochi. That's my identity. I'm Eved Avraham. A child has his own identity. His identity is not just, I'm my father's son. A child has his own identity. He has his own independence. Being an Eved Hashem means that our identity is, I'm an Eved Hashem. That's all I am. And that's an advantage that Eved has over a child. A child, on a certain sense, is not as connected as an Eved is. An Eved's entire identity is his master. And that is what is demanded of every Yid, that we should be mevatel ourselves to the Rabbeinu Shleilam. We should negate ourselves to Hashem to the point that our entire identity should be, I'm an Eved Hashem. That's advantage number one. Advantage number two is, so advantage number one is bittul, total bittul, and Eved has total, negates himself totally to Hashem. Whereas the son does not nullify himself to his father. The second one is the concept of yira. The yira is fear. The relationship of a child with a father is a relationship of love. The relationship of an Eved to his master, from a slave to his master, relationship of fear. He's not serving out of love. He'd rather not be there altogether. Right? But he has no choice. He has the fear of his master upon him. A relationship of love is a relationship that is subject to change. Because a person is not always in touch with their feelings, with their love. Sometimes a person doesn't feel love. And if a person's relationship with Hashem is a relationship of love, so what happens when a person doesn't feel that love? All deals are off. If a person's observance of Torah and Mitzvot is all about love, so then when the person doesn't feel that love, then their observance will fall away. There needs to be the relationship of Eved and Melech, that we should have a relationship of fear as well. I mean, it's not up to us whether we love him or not. We're obligated to do his service because he's our master and we are his avodah. And this is why we find by Kabbalah Satorah that first when Hashem offered us the Torah, we said Nasa v'nishma. We said we will do and we will hear. It was an expression of tremendous love. Yet, despite that, Hashem lifted the mountain over our heads, and He said, "If you accept the Torah, it's fine. If not, I'm going to drop the mountain on you." Why was it Tosfos asked? Why was that necessary? Eden said, "Nasa v'nishma," and the answer is, "Nasa v'nishma" is an expression of love. Love is not something that people are always in touch with. There needs to be yira to guarantee the consistency of one's service. The consistency, the continuity of one's service. Because yira is always there. The fact that I feel that, whether I like it or not, I have to do it. That's always there. So the second advantage that Eved has over a ben, that serving Hashem as a servant rather than a child is this concept of yira, of serving Hashem out of fear. And the third The third advantage is the concept of tefillah, of prayer. A child doesn't need to ask a parent for their needs. A parent takes care of a child's needs without the child asking for it. An eved does need to ask the master for his needs. And the reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to daven, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to pray to him as an eved does to a master, rather than Hashem just take care of all of our needs and we shouldn't have to daven, is because davening guarantees a relationship. There's a famous word that Hashem cursed the snake at the time of the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. Hashem cursed the snake that you shall eat earth for the rest of your life. And the obvious question is, well, that's not a curse, that's a blessing. The nachash, the snake, always has food wherever he goes, whereas everyone else has to find their food. And the answer that's given is, Hashem said to the nachash, here, take your food, I never want to hear from you ever again. Tefillah creates a relationship. Every day when we call out to Hashem and we show that we're totally dependent upon him, it creates a relationship between ourselves and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's a relationship that the Ribbono Shel Olam treasures. And that we treasure, obviously. That is, and this is unique to an Eved, since a child, a child's needs are taken care of by his parents, without the child having to need to ask for it. So the three advantages of an Eved over a Ben is Bittul. An Eved is totally nullified to his master. It's Yira, it's fear, the relationship of fear instead of relationship of love. So there's continuity. And then there's Tefillah, prayer. The Rosh HaTevis, very good. The Rosh HaTevis of Bayis, Yira Tefillah is Bayis. Of Bittul, Yira Tefillah, Bittul, Yira Tefillah, these three advantages is Bayis. And this is why the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Miriam when she spoke against Moshe, Hashem said to Miriam, Loichein, Avdi Moshe, Moshe is my servant, B'chol Beisi Nemanu, in all areas of bias, of Bittul, Gir and Tefillah, he is trustworthy all the way to the end. That's what an Eved is. Avdi Moshe, B'chol Beisi Nemanu. So as we approach, as we walk into Shul in the morning, to daven, we say, V'ani b'roiv chazecha avoy beisecha. With your tremendous kindness, I'm going to come to your bayis. And then we immediately list all three. Eshtachave, I'm going to prostrate myself, which is bittul. That's negating oneself totally to the Ribbono Shel Olam. El heichal kodshecha, I'm going to face your holy chamber, which is a reference to tefillah. Kolamis Paul, it says in Chazal, one who davens should see to it that one should align their heart to the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. So El Heichal Kodshecha represents tefillah. Besides that El Heichal Kodshecha, the numerical value of El Heichal Kodshecha, El Heichal Kodshecha actually is written, is 520. Let me just do the math again. 31, 36, 46, 46, 66, 96, 196, 200, 500, 520. Yeah. The gematria of El Heichal Kodshecha is Hatfilah. Hatfilah is 520, exactly. And then finally, the third thing is B'yirosecha. Is Yira. That is Avay Beisecha. That is when we come into the Rebbeinu Shlomo. That's how we come to the Rebbeinu Shlomo's bias. Bittul Yira Tefillah through El Hashtachva, El Hechel Kotshcha, V'Yirasacha. What? 20 times the Kibbutz. What? 5:20? Yes? Okay. 26 times 2 is. Oh, that's good. Yeah. Shalom, we shall be zoicha to attain the Rebbeinu Shlomo, to enter the Rebbeinu Shlomo's bias by being mevatel ourselves to him through Yira and davening the way we should. And through that we should be zeicha to the binyan habayis. V'yas mishiach tzidkenu b'mehirah b'yameinu amen.